You are listening to the official podcast of Salem Tabernacle in Beacon, New York.
This is session 8, the Creeds of the Church, and we are going to answer 3 questions, as always, when we listen to this. The 3 questions we're going to answer are, do I believe what I am hearing? Is that belief evident in my behavior? Is the fruit of that behavior evident in the lives of others, which is the ultimate goal? The goal is to believe, to have that belief be discipled into a way of life, and have that way of life produce goodness in those around us. And for this session, we are going to be talking about the creeds. For some of you, this will be interesting. For some of you, this will be whatever. It's perfectly fine. But this is part of the Christian faith. Part of the reason why we believe in the Trinity is because of the creeds. The word Trinity does not show up in our Bible. We know the doctrine of the Trinity through the early church wrestling with the divinity of Jesus and the relationship that he has with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But here we go. What are the creeds? The creeds are statements of our basic beliefs about God. We will have less scripture in this one than the last one, so we can breathe a sigh of relief. What are the creeds? The creeds are statements of our basic beliefs about God. The creeds of the church are the product of the church working through their faith corporately. The creeds took centuries to develop and maintain with a lot of debate. They are the basic tenets of the faith. The creeds are not fully, completely agreeable to everybody, to all parts of the church, but together, the two main creeds, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, together show us what the church was working on to keep itself together after the resurrection of Jesus for the next 300 and by 350, both creeds were written, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. So for 350 years, the church was working on deciding, what do we believe now? Like I said, you know, we ask ourselves this question all the time. What do we believe? I will say this to you. Every church has their statements of faith, like on their website and in their constitution. Our statement of faith is the Nicene Creed. We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the church. They are the work of the church. Like one of the greatest products that the church has ever come up with are the creeds. They are the product of centuries of men and women debating, thinking, studying, praying, fasting, arguing, coming back to the table to decide, what are we going to leave our children with? What is Christianity in a nutshell? What do we agree on? The creeds took centuries to develop. The two main creeds are the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed. And again, the creeds center on the divinity of Jesus Christ, and they're meant to be modes of prayer. When we say the creeds, we are praying. When we bless our friends or when we bless our spouse, we say what we believe about them. We say what we believe about them. Jacqueline, I love you. Jacqueline, you're a wonderful wife. You're an amazing mom. Sophia and Theo, I love you. I'm well pleased with you. Like, we say creeds all the time. Creeds are forms of prayers. They're our declaration to God about what we believe in him, signed the church. So the creeds are not scripture, but they're the result of the church wrestling with scripture and trying to give gifts to our children to say, this is what we believe. What is the Apostles' Creed and what is the Nicene Creed? The Apostles' Creed is generally used in baptism, and the Nicene Creed is generally used in Eucharistic services. So, we're just going to read the first few lines here, but the Apostles' Creed starts with this. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Okay? So it starts with, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And then down towards the end, it says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The point I want you to hear is in the Apostles' Creed, it's I believe in the Father, I believe in the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Then when you go to the Nicene Creed starts with, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. And then later on in it, it says, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. So the difference between the two creeds, the main difference is the Apostles' Creed is a creed that starts with, I believe, and the Nicene Creed is a creed that starts with, we believe. So I just want to explain this real fast. The Apostles' Creed is what you say in baptism. When you are going to get baptized, we go through the Apostles' Creed, because before baptism, you're still an I believe, because you haven't been baptized into the family of God yet. So it's I believe. But when we come to the Lord's table on Sundays, we say we believe because we've been baptized, and the meal that we're eating is the family meal. And so before baptism, it's I believe. And then after baptism, when we come to the Lord's table, it's we believe because we're now a family. When I do the daily office by myself during the day, in my personal devotions, I say, I believe, because this is my time with God as an individual person. But when I come to the church and we say the creed together on Sundays, I say, we believe. So there's an important reality between the two creeds. One of the creeds is the creed of personal devotion, and one of the creeds is the creed of corporate worship. And I think we need both of those things. I'm sure we all agree. We need corporate worship as much as we need personal devotion. And I think those two realities buoy each other up. You know, corporate worship without personal devotion can become tribalism. And personal devotion without corporate worship can become individualism. I just made that up. That's pretty good. So corporate worship only can be tribalism. We are of this tribe. These are our liturgies. They're better than yours. And then personal devotion without corporate worship can become, you know, a God told me bonanza and with no checks or balances at all. And so I think the two creeds, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, I believe, we believe, are very important for us. And as convergent Christians, we are not beholden to one of the creeds. We're not just evangelicals, we're not Roman Catholic, we're not Greek Orthodox, we're not just Pentecostals, we're not Anglican. We are convergent, and so we can swim in the goodies of all of these traditions, which I think is faithful and unifying. Why are the creeds important to our Christian worship and witness? Why are the creeds important to our Christian worship and witness? The creeds are important to our witness and worship as they are a means of grace given by God through the Spirit for unity. The creeds are important to our witness and worship as they are a means of grace given by God through the Spirit for unity. Søren Kierkegaard says this, life is only lived forward but can only be understood backwards. Life is only lived forward, but can only be understood backwards. And so as we move forward as the church in the year of our Lord, 2025 AD, we move forward, but when we say the creeds, we understand the life of the church backwards. The creeds plus our current worship are what we call the ancient future faith. It's the way that we live in the verse where he says, I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The creeds help us understand that we're part of a family that existed yesterday, where Jesus spoke to them, witnessed to them, showed them his wounds, performed miracles in their days, forgave the church, chastised the church, disciplined the church, blessed the church. The creeds are the evidence of that life. The creeds are a genealogy of theological truth. The creeds show, you know, when you read Matthew 1, it's so-and-so, begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so. When you read the creeds and you say them, you're watching the rungs on the tree. To, like, you know how old the tree is by you see how many rungs are in it. When you read the creeds, you're going through the work of our church fathers and mothers to keep the faith fresh. It's honoring to our past. It's like going on to the internet to try to find your genealogy and where you're from, your family tree. The creeds are our family tree of theology. When you read Deuteronomy 26, you hear Moses talking about how, you know, our father Abraham was wandering around and God found him and God called him and God brought him to a place and we're now inhabiting that place. But he doesn't just tell the Israelites, you know, we're here for the first time. He connects it to a story. Read Deuteronomy 26. We read it this past Sunday. The promised land is a land promised, past tense, to somebody long gone at that time. Gone, 500 plus years gone, Abraham was, at the time Israel inhabited the promised land. But Moses doesn't let them go into the promised land without connecting them. He gives a creed. He makes up a statement of faith. A wandering Aramean was my father, right? And so it's in that creed that he allows the people to know you are not here alone. You're here with a history behind you. And the creeds are important for that. They help us maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The creeds are the boundary markers for healthy Christian theology. We can disagree about everything inside the boundaries of the creeds. But in order to be a Christian, you have to believe that God is not just God, but he's Father. And not just Father, but Creator. If you don't believe that God is Father, you don't believe in Jesus because Jesus is his Son. And if you don't believe in the relationship between God and Jesus, you can't believe in the Holy Spirit that proceeds from the Father and the Son. And with the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. And so the creeds are the basic tenets of the faith. God has to be Creator and he has to be Father. Jesus has to be Lord and he has to have died and rose. He has to have been born of a virgin and the Holy Spirit has to be real and the Holy Spirit has to be the communicator of forgiveness and salvation and the unifier of the church. Like, we have to believe these things as Christians. That everything else, we could pour coffee and talk for hundreds of years like they did. But we have to believe in those basic tenets of the faith. And they all come from the scriptures. Final question of the night. What anchors the creeds that makes them trustworthy? What anchors the creeds that makes them trustworthy? The creeds are trustworthy because they are rooted in scripture, history, and they center on the Godhead, the Trinity. The creeds are trustworthy because they're rooted in scripture, they're rooted in history, and they center on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, that's Genesis, and that's the Gospels. Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, that's John 3:16. The Holy Spirit, the giver of life, that's all of the canon of Scripture from Genesis 1 with the Spirit hovering over nothingness to David in Psalm 51 saying, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, to Samson being rushed upon by the Holy Spirit, to Gideon being clothed in the Holy Spirit, to Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit, to the church in Acts 2 being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is all of the scriptures. What do we mean when we say things like one holy Catholic and apostolic church? Well, number one, for those of you who are wondering, we do not mean Roman Catholic. We mean Catholic, lowercase c, a word meaning unified, a word meaning universal, a word meaning one. Let's look at this a little bit. Matthew 16, 18. Jesus says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And let's look at Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. What makes it one holy Catholic and apostolic church? The fact that it was given to us from the apostles, like Jesus built the church on the apostle Peter. Paul picks that up and says the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And let's look at Ephesians 4, 4 to 6. The Ephesians 4 one, Ian. Ephesians 4, 4 to 6. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. What the heck? Let's look at the Revelation 5 while we're at it. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." When you look at all these scriptures, it's talking about the many being pulled into the one and being a kingdom, a church, a people built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And so that's where we get the phrase, one holy Catholic and apostolic church. That's why the Nicene Creed says he has spoken through the prophets. It's rooted in history with three people's names, one of them being Jesus, but then two, let's call it fallen humans, are in the creed. Pontius Pilate and Mary, the Virgin Mary. And so those names anchor the creeds in time and space, in a specific time and a specific space, with actual names. So the creed is rooted in the scriptures. It's rooted in specific history. And it is rooted in the Trinity. And our final point of the evening is this. John 17, 20 to 21. Jesus says this, "I do not ask for these only, his disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word," one holy Catholic and apostolic church, "that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." In your doom scrolling, in your research, you may find that there is a lot of negativity spoken in portions of the evangelical church about the universal church. And you will hear things about the universal church being a bad thing. Most of that is anti-Roman Catholic sentiments turned into a fake theology to avoid being Catholic. The reality is, it is only Satan's work that wants to divide the church. It's only Satan that wants the church to not be one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Satan wants there to be a bunch of free churches that are connected to no organizations, that are connected to no communions, that are just floating out there by themselves with their own stuff, and have there be 10 million of them not joined together. Our church is better than your church. Our programs are better than your programs. Our youth group's better than your youth group. Our doctrine's better than your doctrine. Roman Catholics are going to hell. You know, all this kind of stuff. It is Satan's work to make a house divided against itself. Right? Jesus Christ of Nazareth said that. So I think it's important that we heed Jesus' prayer when he says, "Make them one as we, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are one." Like, Jesus wants us to be as unified as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are unified. That's an incredible, unstoppable unity if it can be maintained. And so the creeds are how we stay together as a church, present, past, and future. Next week, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to pick up where we're leaving off here. I want to talk next week about how the Father can fully empty himself into the Son, and how the Son can fully empty himself into the Father and into us. And even though the Father and the Son are fully emptying themselves, they are never empty because of the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about that. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit next week. We just talked about the creeds, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit next week, and then we're going to get into the church and ministry and worship, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Like, we have pretty much put away the standard things we have to talk about. Coming up, it's the fun stuff. It's what are the sacraments? What is the church? Who is the Holy Spirit? What is ministry? What is worship? It's going to get fun. It's going to be exciting.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Tabernacle Podcast. For more information about us, including gathering times and our location, check us out online at salemtabernacle.com.